Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
We believe the only way to stop Ultron is to separate his body from the stone.
But this Ultron could be hiding anywhere in the multiverse?
Yes.
Behind an army of killer robots.
Afraid so.
And armed with a full set of stones?
She's got a point.
I never said it would be easy. This is a suicide mission.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Rich.
And I'm Eric.
Killmonger. Just kidding. And this is House Podcastica What If Edition.
This week, we're covering What If, Season 1, Episode 9. What if the Watcher broke his oath?
Yeah, of course he did. I knew he would. He always does.
Yeah, everybody breaks an oath.
Everybody breaks their oath.
It's like a New Year's resolution.
If you hear an oath, it's going to be broken, probably.
It's going to be broken.
Yeah, it's over. The first season is behind us. You guys were on for the Guardians, the T'Challa became a Star-Lord.
Yep.
I'd say that's still one of my favorites, all said and done.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I'm really impressed with the show. What about you guys? What do you think now that it's the first season's done?
Yeah, well, now I'm waiting for the second season.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, you know, it was great. I mean, the episodes were cool. You know, they all tied into each other and you know, it felt like a bunch of movies, just like the movies.
Yeah. And some of the stuff they alluded to in this series too, I want to see them do in the second series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be cool if they follow up on some
of the zombies in particular.
Yeah. Like the zombies, part of the storylines.
For sure. The movies. Yeah. I mean, one of the main showrunner guys, forgot his name, but he does storyboards for the movies. So he just,
that makes a lot of sense.
Did the same kind of work here and got to see it realized.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this finale. It's our top three highlights for What If Season 1, Episode 9, What If the Watcher Broke His Oath. In general, what did you guys think of this particular episode?
Absolutely awesome. I love how, like in any Marvel universe and in one of the multiverses, all things lead to a final boss fight. Totally cool. You're never going to be let down, right?
Right.
Seeing all the characters from the previous episodes, you know, take on Ultron and getting a little bit more of their story arc to boot.
And, yeah.
Is anyone else attracted to Captain Carter? Holy crap.
I think everyone's hot.
Both the animated and real version.
Yeah, it's cool
they
too.
Draw him so sexy.
The final boss fight for this show is all about, I mean, the show is about the multiverse and the different realities and how you can go in and see what if different things happen. And then they made it so the final boss fight is about that whole multiverse being threatened. I just thought it was really clever how it all came together, and also how the Watcher was kind of the one to, you know, he kind of fucked up, because if it wasn't for him, then Ultron would not have had access to the multiverse. So that was kind of cool how he got pulled in that way.
Right.
But was it really? I mean, did he really make a mistake? Because I feel like this was all planned out, that he knew all along. He picked those people. He knew, he saw everything. You know, Doctor Strange even said, you know, you knew.
He foresaw. I mean, last episode. When he was standing right behind Ultron going, and then he realized
there was
a cosmic peeping Tom behind him watching his every move. Who's that?
Who's saying that? But yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, blending them all together, it's classic Marvel now, where you know, all these different movies are all going to tie into each other somehow. And they did it with each of these episodes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it ended with, you know, an awesome battle scene. And like Rich said, you know, characters getting their arc and things coming together. And yeah, it was just super cool.
I mean, for me, I do think it's great that it was a good, satisfying ending. I like anthology style things where you get a discrete story, but I also like it when there's a shared universe feel. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. And you're right. I didn't even think about that, Eric, but it is a lot like how the Marvel Cinematic Universe itself unfolded. You had separate movies focusing on smaller groups of characters, but then they come together.
But then they all come together. Cool. Yep.
But I also like, I get kind of bored when it felt like for the most part, one big battle. It's cool, yeah. But I like it when there's more story. So I think all these episodes are great. The distance from the worst to the best is not that far. You know, I think they were all pretty damn good, including this one. But I would say it wasn't my favorite.
They had, you know, they had some flaws here and there. I mean, yeah, I still really enjoyed them. But this one for sure was high on the list.
I would say probably my least favorite was the Killmonger Iron Man one, but I still thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, where he wastes Tony. Actually, yeah. I like that because I don't like Tony. So
Tony, well, that's one reason why you must like the series then, because Tony is the Kenny of What If.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
You killed Tony.
He dies in every episode he's in except for this one. But
when he dies, though, everything goes to, you know, everything goes to crap.
That's true.
Yeah,
they should have had someone say, "You killed Tony, you bastard."
That would have been pretty awesome
at some point. All right, let's get into our top three. Who wants to go first?
Go for it, Rich.
Okay, so one of the best parts I felt was with, you know what? I didn't like it when he recruited Killmonger. This was an instant. When we saw him do that, it's like, well, we know what he's going to do. He's going to do a power grab and betray the whole team. I mean, like, that was your instant first thought, right? Yeah. Which he did, but of course. But then embarrassingly, and I didn't realize this until the second viewing, that was kind of sort of the plan. You know, that was kind of worked into why he chose him. And
yeah,
so Strange, you know, could capture them in a convenient little pocket universe and, you know, do it all guilt-free because they're both assholes. So I didn't like it, but then it makes sense and becomes a reasonable strategy, which you don't find out till later. So it also means the Watcher knew that Star-Lord would fail at convincing Killmonger to give it up and just be a nice guy. Personally, I would have rather watched the Watcher go get another big gun like the Hulk or Captain Marvel or something and have him just beat Ultron down to a pulp with
just rip the stones right off of him.
But it makes sense that they had to do that with all the stones.
Well, yeah. Like, if the Watcher can pull anyone from any universe, then the smart thing to do would be to go, like, get 1,000 Captain Marvels and just be
yeah,
done with
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
But it's comic books, and it's kind of just an excuse to pull up one character from each episode and make it work. It's a stretch.
But at the same time, you know, you have to, you know, if Thanos or anyone who has all the stones could just snap and
yeah,
erase everyone, I mean, why even yeah, bother with fighting?
That's you know, true. Yeah, I mean, Doctor Strange was key here, and this right, Doctor Strange is more powerful than our Doctor Strange because he's absorbed all these dark dimensional creatures into himself. But even with that, it was, you really had to suspend your disbelief, or at least, I mean, it's all not believable. It's comics, but we're meant to think that if you have all six Infinity Stones, you can just wipe out the whole universe if you want. And here he is having a pretty conventional battle. So it's sort of like, all right, I'm just going to have to ignore the little voices in my head saying, why doesn't he just snap his fingers?
But at the same time, right? You have to ignore it, but by ignoring it, you get to see an awesome fight
exactly,
scene.
Right.
So,
right,
which is really what all of us 14-year-old boys want to see.
Absolutely, right?
But that, you know, that it wasn't something I enjoyed, but at the same time, it kind of did a full 360 and made sense. And so I was like, it adds a little bit of more dimension to the story. So I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. And I had the same thought last week with, you're going to send Arnim Zola in there because if Arnim Zola succeeds, he's just going to want to take over and do the same thing, which he did.
Right.
But
right.
then you get Killmonger, you have the same thought. And then when they did the best they could as writers, and we're like, yeah, that's what the Watcher had in mind. So they'd be in this eternal struggle, the two greediest bastards ever trapped in a pocket universe, you know?
Right.
So what about you, Eric?
I mean, I'm sure this is going to be all of ours. I mean, knowing you two, but when they really got in with it with, you know, with Ultron, when Peggy, you know, says, you know, let's bring it to him, and they just start hitting him from every angle, and shields are hitting him from left and right, and he can't take, you know, 1 second to compose himself, and yeah. they're all just bashing him. Was just awesome. I just, you know, again, it's what if is all about, and you know, seeing that was just super cool.
Right. Boot to the head.
Yep.
Boot to the head.
I liked, so I think it was when they first picked Party Boy Thor out, and he was fighting the Ultron bots, and he, his battle cry was Viva Las Vegas!
Vegas.
And then, you know, that was all in the goofy part of the episode where they were still doing comic relief. But then I think during the part you're talking about, Eric, it was more serious, like high stakes battle with the
right.
And yeah, people fighting, you know, one person took his turn then. But then I noticed when Thor like shot his thunder, he still goes, Vegas.
That was one thing that kind of bothered me in this episode was, you know, I love the humor in the Marvel movies. I know Rich and I, we've talked about that, and that you're not a huge fan of that. Right. But I felt like this was just a little too much. I mean, I felt like they made Thor practically an idiot. You know,
I don't understand that.
Line in particular, because it was not at all difficult to understand.
You're right.
So if you're
going
to use that line, it should be something that's a little advanced, but it wasn't. So then it came off like, yeah, this is just a goofy joke.
Right.
I kept thinking the same.
When I thought, because of that line, I think I was like, ah, this is too goofy. But then when I went back and thought about, like, he asked for Chinese food because there's a rumble in his tummy, and then they actually do eat Chinese food. I thought that was kind of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And then even when he's like, I was about to go on a date, I was going to light candles and do my hair, I thought that was pretty good.
Again, there are little bits here and there that were funny. I mean, yelling out, you know, Viva Las Vegas or whatever. I mean, it was kind of funny, but then overall, I mean,
too much.
It wasn't like he ever took it serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I normalized it because in his episode, he's never had any tragedy.
That's true. That's true.
So he's just a big old party frat boy now, you know?
I figured, you know, that's why he was the way he was, but yeah,
that's what helps me get past sometimes. I mean, right. I know, like, our friend Tim, he doesn't like the Thor Ragnarok at all, and it's one of my favorites.
It's one of my favorites too. I love it.
I don't want them all to be that way, but here, the zombie episode I thought was really great, but it went a little too far with the goofiness, like Peter's video. It's all happy-go-lucky, even though most of the planet's dead.
And Paul Rudd, you know, continuing
the Paul Rudd thing
jokes.
Was totally dumb. I wish they didn't have that at all.
People are dying around him, and he's just cracking jokes.
But some of them worked for
too
me,
soon?
Though.
Right.
It's hard to find that line, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the Guardians of the Multiverse, and I thought we'd just go through all the intros in the order they were chosen, because it was cool how the intros showed that it was picking up from where each of their storylines left off. The Watcher says, at first I scoured eternity for one true hero, then I saw the bigger picture. This mission requires a team. And I'm like, yeah, it just seems like you got lazy and chose people from the last few places you were spying on.
Really. Right.
But okay. So first there's evil Doctor Strange, which actually he picked up last episode when he just was hiding from Ultron and at his wit's end and had to admit to him that he wanted to intervene finally and that he needed help. So we saw that last time. Then there's Captain Carter, who's from episode one. What if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? She was pulled from a sequence that was her version of what we saw in Captain America Winter Soldier, where her and Black Widow went to this shield ship that was being held captive by Batroc and his goons, holding them hostage. So there were some of the same lines and situations from that movie, including Black Widow trying to convince her to date somebody from accounting.
Bernard from accounting.
In the movie, I think it was Christine from statistics or something. Okay, next one was T'Challa, who of course came from the episode that we covered before, What If T'Challa Became a Star-Lord, number two. And that was a quick resolution to this cliffhanger we saw at the end of that episode where Peter Quill's father, Kurt Russell / Ego, said hi to him at the Dairy Queen. And here we see he didn't waste much time in just starting to siphon all the energy out of him, which he's going to use to destroy the entire universe. But T'Challa swoops in and rescues him and then gets taken away by the Watcher. And that's like, we're like, I wonder if that story is going to get continued. Yeah, in about 5 seconds. Then we get Gamora from, I'm sure we'll talk about, an episode that actually got pushed back to season two. It was supposed to be a season one Gamora episode. That's why.
When I saw that, I was like, what? Wait, did I miss an episode?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, I want to see that episode.
I literally went back and I went through. No, I've seen that one. Nope. It wasn't in that one. Nope. I didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
So that was supposed to be, it was supposed to be a 10 episode season, but COVID made it so they had to push it back. Killmonger from episode 6, What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark? And at the end of that episode, we saw Pepper Potts and Shuri saying they were going to, you know, get him out of there, get Killmonger and make him pay for his crimes or whatever they said. I forget. Mm-hmm. And here we see them running with some like Wakandan guard members talking about how he must be tried according to Wakandan law. And also in that episode, he had weaseled his way into King T'Chaka's good graces and had killed T'Challa, but he wasn't king yet. But here he is king, I think. So he must have like killed T'Chaka by this point or somehow usurped his power.
Jerk.
Then we get Party Boy Thor from episode 7, What If Thor Were No Only Child? We see him fighting Ultron bots and complaining he was about to go on a date. So we saw at the end of his episode that he was just about to go on a date and saw the Ultron bots. By the way, I thought that was a plot hole that the Watcher at the end of that episode, you know, he's like, oh, it's going to be a happy ending that lived happily ever after. And then you hear the Ultron come through this portal with his Infinity Stones and the Watcher goes, wait, what? Then the next episode, we see that the Watcher is the reason why Ultron learned about the multiverse. So I'm like, if the Watcher is the reason why, then why was he surprised to see him when he came through? But then I read, oh, well, maybe it's just because that was the first time the Watcher saw Ultron and Infinite Ultron or whatever you want to call him. But so then he went to like examine the universe that he originally came from and accidentally caused this thing that he saw the results of earlier, because it's all time relative, you know, back and forth in time.
That's crazy.
Let's see. Unofficial team member Zombie Wanda shows up.
That was cool.
So she really wasn't on the team, but they took something from that episode, and that was really cool. And one cool thing about that is, I didn't even realize it when I first watched it, is here's Wanda and kind of the Vision fighting, you know?
Ultron's
in Vision's body. So it's like two creepy, dark versions of those two characters.
I think that's why she stopped, right? I think that's why she kind of had that puzzled look on her face when she was blasting him, that she kind of realized that it was Vision. Really?
I thought it was, oh, crap, this guy's about to blow up the planet. But maybe you're right.
I was like, oops, that didn't work.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of both. Then Black Widow from last week's What If Ultron Won? And I suppose the Watcher is another teammate from all the episodes. No one from episode 3, What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes, where Hank Pym kills everyone, but pretty sure that is the universe that Watcher drops Black Widow off into at the end.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Because Captain Marvel and Captain America are there fighting.
America were both there, yeah.
And Loki had taken over at the end, and that's who they're fighting, so.
Right.
And then Fury was like, well, you're not my Natasha, but you're... I can tell you have her spirit or something like
right.
that.
Huh? He just figured
it out. I thought that was cool that he knew like immediately.
Yeah. And she presumably died in that episode too when she fought Hank Pym, was like batting her around without at the end. So I think that's all of them. Yeah. And they did a nice circle shot camera going around him at one point, like just like in the Avengers. So
mm-hmm.
it's like the multiversal Avengers.
Back to back. Ready for action. That was also one of my top three is when the Watcher travels the multiverse looking to recruit, you know, his heroes. It was great to see him interrupt whatever the task they were into. Like Jason was explaining, and, you know, Captain Carter was scrapping with Batroc. He barges in on Star-Lord saving Peter.
With Batroc, yeah, she's like, what? And he goes, what, are you afraid? No, wait, do you see that? Look over there.
Yeah, do you see that? The Watcher shows up in the sky and he tells him, hey, guys, come on, stop fucking around because there's some serious multiverse-ending asshole we got to go deal with right now. Come on. I enjoyed watching the heroes he was going to... I enjoyed anticipating, like, you know, which heroes he was going to go recruit. I was kind of hoping for, like, for the Hulk and for Captain Marvel, but...
Yeah.
No go. And then my favorite part was when he showed up to get Gamora, and Stark was over there, you know, like, blah, 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 and the Watcher's like, not you, Stark. Shut the fuck up. You know? I got no time for your smart-ass bullshit, Stark. I need some real heroes here.
Well, look, speaking of Stark, he's the reason for all this because he created Ultron.
Yeah.
And he said in that episode, I want to build a suit of armor around the world. And here we see him, I think, trying to convince Gamora to give him the Infinity Stones, which presumably she just took from after killing her father, because that's what the Watcher says. Something of Sakaar and destroyer of Thanos, Gamora. And then I think we see him saying, let's put a suit of armor around the world, talking about the Infinity Stones. And right after that, the Watcher goes, not you. So it's like, I don't like those tendencies of yours, dude.
right.
Yeah, you're the cause. What's Gamora's sister's name?
Nebula.
Mostly android.
Nebula.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to see her in there too, but she wasn't in there. Calls her the Slayer kind of Thanos. I wonder how she did that. Couldn't have been easy, huh?
I mean, I presume we'll find out next season.
Ultron just zapped him in half, right?
I know. It was like
my son said, why didn't Vision do that in the movie?
Yes.
And I'm like, because he's nice.
I think it was Ben who did that episode with me, reminded me that Vision had just been like severely damaged before he ran into Thanos. He was like, laid up on a table or something.
Yeah, that makes
exact.
Sense.
Right. So yeah, in Wakanda.
Possible justification, yeah. But still, well, it did seem like...
He only had the one Mind Stone, too. I mean, at this point, Ultron had all the stones. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he only had the Mind Stone, huh?
Yeah.
That's how he got all the stones. Oh, crap. Oops.
And handed it to him, basically.
Yeah, now I'm starting to wonder.
It was a cool moment, though.
Right, yeah. No, I loved it.
Anything else, Rich?
Nope, that's it.
So one of my other favorite moments was when the whole scene when Doctor Strange was like transforming into that mega demon from all the creatures that he had defeated, and that one shot with the screen all cracked. I mean, it felt like I was watching a comic. It felt like, you know, it was so cool and colorful, and you could see little bits of each one of these different demons, and it was pretty awesome, especially when, you know, he started blasting Ultron and he was this, when he fully transformed, but, you know, he was obviously part demon, but he also had, you know, himself in there, so he knew what he was doing, and it was just super cool to see, you know, his power.
Yeah, when Ultron and Strange fought, that was the most comic bookish, comic booky, you know, Vision that in the whole show, because that's how when I read the comics, it was like, oh wow, it just came to life in my head, you know?
Right.
Strange,
right.
He's super powerful in this, and he totally buffs his whole team with protection spells.
Yeah.
I was like, cool. He's badass. Plus, he had some dimension to him. Ba-da-buh. You know, he looked and felt somber, you know, he felt that come through. I don't know if it was the performance or how they drew him, what, you know, but he's like forever grief stricken and kind of a little bit mellowed, but also wanting revenge. I mean, his character seemed the most fleshed out, I thought.
Yeah. Like there's been a lot about how, like, with Thor, the Watcher said, you know, his dealings with Loki helped shape him into the hero that he became. And without that, then the implication he's not as much of a hero. And that is a theme that comes up over and over again in the Marvel universe. And here, I feel like that's what happened. I was calling this character evil Doctor Strange, but that doesn't fit anymore because now he's really sorry about what he did and what happened. Mm-hmm. And he's burdened with all these demons that he's absorbed into himself, but he's going to use his power for good now. And so he's a total hero and he's like the biggest hero in this episode.
Yeah.
But he had to kill his whole universe to get there.
Right.
Yeah, that's all. You know, that's all. No nothing biggie. Too big.
And he had an answer for everything Ultron did, too. I thought that was cool. Like, yeah. Ultron goes to blow up the galaxy. I mean, he's literally like, I don't understand. I can destroy entire galaxies, but I can't kill you. And then he goes to destroy the galaxy, and, you know, Strange just, like, grabs it and swallows it.
Yeah.
That was
and
awesome.
He has,
yeah.
like, centuries of practice absorbing things into himself. So,
yeah.
And he also, like, he like, duplicated the hammers.
That was cool. Awesome. Yeah, that was another moment that was just super cool.
He also had a time stone, so when Ultron tried to freeze time and freeze everyone, he just
he's like, nope.
His own time stone reversed that.
Know what was going on there.
Ultron goes big, you know, he's like, and Strange releases the Kraken, like Eric said, you know. it was like, go Strange. At that point, the second viewing, I was like, this dude's badass.
I wonder if this is, I mean, I'm hoping somehow that these elements will be incorporated into any of the movies, but I know that Doctor Strange is, you know, obviously going to play a big part in everything with the multiverse of madness and whatnot. And I wonder if any of these elements of his character are going to cross over. I hope so.
Man, that would drive me mad trying to keep all my universes in check. How do you know?
I mean, so this isn't our Doctor Strange, the one that we're seeing right now, right? He's from another universe, but because there's this Doctor Strange of the Multiverse of Madness, I doubt they're going to want to make it so that you will have had to have seen What If to understand it.
Yeah.
But I hope at least that there'll be some little bits that we can recognize or cameos or something, you know, that'd be
like a little Easter egg or something.
Yeah. Maybe Captain Carter shows up. I don't know. Okay. Is it my turn?
Sure.
Yeah.
So we kind of have covered this a little bit, but just like, I'm like, okay, what was the strategy here? Is it really the best strategy to pick a team of heroes? I mean, it's all just an excuse to get a team together from all the episodes, which is really cool. But I would pick 1,000 Captain Marvels over this team. But I was looking at, okay, how do they do it? Well, Doctor Strange is the key because he's powerful. He's more powerful because of he's absorbed all these dark demons into himself, so he can give everyone a protection spell. And with the Watcher's plan of hoping that these two villains would end up struggling over it and Doctor Strange could put them into a pocket dimension and contain them, then they just needed some heroes for Doctor Strange to buff up. So it could have been any heroes, really, aside from them. It didn't need to be these guys. The only ones you really needed for sure were, like, well, it could be any villains too, but Killmonger, Arnim Zola, and Doctor Strange.
Right.
I noticed they wanted to get the Soul Stone first. That was their plan. At first, I was maybe that was the most powerful. But this Infinity Stone Crusher seemed to be powered by that. And I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe not, but maybe we would have seen that device in Gamora's episode, by the way, since her whole goal is to kill Thanos and get the stones away from him or whatever.
I thought they were going after the Soul Stone because it's like the stone. It's like, screwed with everybody, you know. It killed Gamora,
right?
When she tried to go get it killed the Black Widow when she went to go get it. It's like this that little trinket that won't go away.
You know, at the same time in the movie, you know, it was the stone that was, I think, kind of used the least almost. I mean, Vision had it and blasted a couple times, but I still kind of wondered what it did.
What it does. Mm-hmm. I liked when Strange opened the portal to the zombie dimension, and there's like literally 10 tons of zombies.
That was badass.
That's Wanda. But
I'll keep him busy.
Captain America was one of the first zombies.
I know. I saw that. Which was awesome. See, that episode with the zombies, that was my least favorite.
Yeah.
I did not like seeing my superheroes turn.
Oh, get zombified.
Yeah.
I loved
especially
it.
Especially the Cap.
The only thing I hate about Captain America coming through is it's a continuity problem because Captain America gloriously got slashed in half with his own shield.
Oh yeah, huh.
Oh yeah, that's right. In the
I thought that was cool because I wanted to dress up as a zombie Captain America.
Heck yeah. I think I was going to go into detail about how their plan worked, but I think we all got it. I just had to suspend my disbelief that Ultron wasn't more effective with all those Infinity Stones. But yeah. other than that, it was.
I think you can kind of do that. You can do that, you know, with a lot of things. I mean, I don't know if this would actually work, but couldn't he have just put Ultron in a pocket dimension? I mean, unless he had to get the stones off of his body.
I think it might have been the key. Yeah, you couldn't just have one person that had the stones. You'd have to have two people that were fighting over them, I guess. But what I'm saying is Ultron has the reality stone. He could just change reality.
Right.
Yeah, and he's a robot, too, so he should be able
to. So he would be efficient, right? Yeah.
He's not distracted like a human with emotions, right?
But he wanted to be a real boy.
Mine was the battle with Ultron. Of course, we've already talked about it. It's on par, I thought, with the final battle in Endgame, if not maybe even a little bit better. The writers and the animators did top-notch job here. I mean, they were, in my opinion, pulling from different sources, past episodes, making it look fantastic. I mean, I'm just gushing over the animation. It just, like, in my brain, it's like exactly what comic books do when I read them. Come to life, just like what they're putting on the screen there. And some of the highlights that I thought was good was the zombie portal with the Scarlet Witch. That was cool. Strange doing the countless Mjolnirs.
Yeah.
And then, like you mentioned, Eric, where they're just constantly pummeling him, you know, boot to the head. Don't let him get that soul stone. Just keeping him busy the whole time, right?
To the head.
Yeah. Oh, and then Hawkeye's arrow, too. I thought that was cool that it came back. That was an integral part of the plot, you know.
Yes.
See Hawkeye's arrow again.
And the whole Arnim Zola thing.
Hawkeye's dead. Sad.
By the way, I've mentioned maybe once or twice that I went to school with Jeremy Renner, and Richard and I were in the same class as him. And I was wondering if you remember anything about Jeremy Renner, because I didn't really know him.
I do, actually. I have a good story. I think it was our 10-year anniversary, high school reunion. He wasn't super famous yet, but he was doing commercials and stuff, you know, and we did our little highs and things, and, you know, people were just like, oh, yeah, he's in commercials, whatever. And then we went to an after party after the reunion, and I was standing next to him standing next to a bonfire. And then he was telling me about how he's getting some of the parts in the commercials. And one of them was for a Bud Light commercial. He said he had to sit in an audience in a big stadium, and they had to wait for the stadium to clear after the game or something like that. And he was telling me all about it, and I was only paying half as attention because I'm like, who are you? What are you in some commercials or something? Shut up. And I was like one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah. I mentioned that too, because we were like, okay, Jeremy, good. And then in our 20-year reunion, he was in Hurt Locker.
Right.
And I think it might have just been announced that he was going to be Hawkeye. And we're like, oh, I guess he was right.
Remember when he walked in? He walked in late. I remember this. He walked in late and he had a little entourage of a bunch of hot chicks behind him and stuff. He just put his hands out like this. He was like, all right, the party can begin. I'm here. Everybody goes running up to him and put a big crowd around him. Man, that guy's got it going on.
But do you remember anything from actual high school?
No.
Not me either.
But I can say that in general for a lot of things.
I guess that's true, huh? Yeah. All right. What about, where are we? Number one? Rich?
Yeah.
You just did yours. Eric?
I think my number one was, you know, when Ultron fought, but another thing that I just loved, and you know, we kind of mentioned this in the beginning, just how many nods there were to the past episodes, to the movies. I mean, I love looking for Easter eggs. I love seeing these little things where I could say, oh, look, that's from this, or, oh yeah, look at that. And it just felt like this whole episode was just filled with those. There were moments that were, you know, kind of giving homage to other things that were similar to other things. And it just makes the whole, you know, viewing experience that much better for me. Cause I could, I don't know. It just, I love it.
Me too. I love it when they refer to past events and stuff, you know, like canon. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Right.
Love it.
Especially in ways
fan service. There we go.
Most people would not notice and they don't like put a lot of attention on it. But if you're a fan, then you see it in the background or whatever. Yeah.
There's so much
of that in this series all over the place.
And yeah, and especially this episode, you know, I mean, they were referring to past episodes of this series, of the movies that all these characters were from. I mean, it was just littered with them, you know, every character had at least a handful of them.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. Just made it, again, that much better.
Here's a couple. In Winter Soldier, Steve Rogers had switched over to that uniform that was kind of stealthy and understated. It just had like the wings across the chest, but it was mostly just blue. Mm-hmm. Here, Captain Carter's uniform is more like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Steve Rogers was. I mentioned already Widow trying to set Carter on a date with the guy from accounting.
With Bernard.
That was similar to her trying to do that with Kristen from Statistics. For Steve Rogers. This isn't exactly like that, but kind of. Doctor Strange shows them what the Infinity Stones are, and T'Challa, who is a Star-Lord, says, "I've stolen more from worse." And Killmonger goes, "Seriously, you really are from another planet." And it makes sense that he would be kind of tripping out on T'Challa as Star-Lord, because T'Challa is a big part of his story. In fact, he killed the T'Challa in his universe.
Right.
Right.
He's like, what? You're just a thief?
Right. He's like, hey, I stopped Thanos from killing the universe. And then the only other one I had is Arnim Zola's face showing up in Ultron's torso like that.
Yeah.
Is like how Arnim Zola looks in the comic. He walks
in the comics,
this
right? Yeah.
This body with the big face.
With the face. Man.
That's a part of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty hard to pull off like live action.
I always wish they would have, though. And I want to see him do MODOK. Do you know who that is? He's like,
The guy with the.
That's a cartoon, by the way, faces. And it's pretty damn funny.
He's all head with his little arms.
There was tons of little things when Doctor Strange first summons them all to the bar, he gives Thor a beer it's full after he drinks it. So
Thor throwing down
when he threw it, it was like the movie. I mean, it was all those little things.
That's the only superpower I need. Constantly filled beer.
I just want to be able to snap my fingers and be drunk anytime. All right. My turn, right?
Yep.
So I want to talk about Gamora. The season was going to be 10 episodes, and Watcher introduces her. So we were supposed to have seen her episode by this point. The Watcher introduces her, saying, "Gamora, survivor of Sakaar and destroyer of Thanos." Sakaar is that planet ruled by the Grandmaster, Jeff Goldblum, where he holds the contest of champions and has superpowered people fight. That's where we saw Hulk fight Thor in Ragnarok. So apparently Gamora goes there and survives it, and maybe fights in the arena. I don't know. We also see that Tony Stark that the Watcher dismissed, not you, in some new armor that looks kind of like Sakaarian tech with the symbols on it. So maybe he goes there and makes that there, kind of like he made his armor on Earth, but with advanced tech. But it has a Hulkbuster kind of feel to it.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, the Hulkbuster.
It was all big.
Yeah, I hope that in that episode they fight, because to see that in action, that looked pretty cool. I saw that he had claws on it.
I would guess that if it's Sakaar and he's looking like that, that they're at least he'll be in the arena, and probably her too, right?
Yeah.
Fighting. And then apparently if she killed Thanos and their friends, then they probably work together to kill Thanos. But yeah, the Watcher dismisses him because he's like trying to get the Infinity Stones and do his self-sabotaging usual thing. So, and the only other thing about Gamora is that she has this helicopter blade weapon, which is what Thanos used in Endgame. So it makes sense.
I love that weapon.
He's gone. She took it.
She took it, right. Yeah.
All right.
Old glaive.
Any like extra notes or anything?
Yeah, you know, for breaking his oath, there didn't really seem to be any, you know, blowback for the Watcher on that. I mean, it all worked out pretty swell for the Watcher. He's going to start breaking his oath all the time now. He's like,
yeah, there wasn't much consequence.
Well, I screwed that up. Hey, let me go get some people.
Here, hold on, yeah.
I mean, at the end, he says, you know, I love the multiverse and I will protect it to the end, where before this, he's been saying he won't interfere. But yeah, right. We don't know. He made an oath, but we don't know who he made the oath to. And I kind of hope they go into that. You know, maybe there will be some consequences next season.
Because there are other Watchers, right?
In the comics, there are. Oh, yeah. I think in this Guardians of the Galaxy, one of the post-credit scenes showed some Watchers talking to Stan Lee or something.
In part two. So.
Yeah, we mentioned Black Widow and the Captain Carter are BFFs.
that was fun to see their interplay. I like the chemistry there. It's cool.
I mean, and obviously with the end scene, that's going to be a focus on the next season. So, I mean, that was super cool.
With Steve. So now I was a little confused with that. So they find out that Steve Rogers is in the Hydra Stomper, Iron Man-ish like armor, and it's modern day. So he has survived somehow. I was thinking maybe he got Winter Soldier story.
But I mean, when he he fell off into the abyss, right? With just like,
but he came back later though in that episode.
Did he?
Yeah.
He
had been captured by Hydra and
way
he helped to fight them in the end.
Unless the first episode of the next season and they open it up and he's a 100-year-old man.
He comes out and dies.
I'm alive.
Turns to dust.
Don't open that.
Just to see it, darling. Anything else?
Rich? He was alive. I mean, we know he was alive, but
I think we'll find out.
He had to have. Either that or he's... Yeah, he's an ancient dude.
I think somebody already mentioned this, but Thor wanted Chinese food.
Yeah.
And then they got Chinese
food. They got it.
Yeah.
There must be an actual universal Chinese restaurant. Alternate dimension delivery. So Thor, at one point, somebody was asking Thor if he trusts this guy. They were talking about the Watcher. He's like, do you trust this guy? Thor's like, yeah, I trust everyone.
I like that.
Yeah. I would too if actually I was super tough and powerful. You could just be happy all the time. It's like you don't have to worry about anybody.
You know who delivered the Chinese food?
Mm.
Thor Dash.
That's kind of why I mean one you know reason for kind of dismissing his humor, or why I didn't like it, or I mean why I didn't mind it that much, was that he is super powerful, right? I mean, he can go around and be goofy all he wants because he's so tough.
Yeah. You wouldn't have to worry about no one making any threats.
It's interesting because
the first two Thor movies, actually watched the first one again for one of the other episodes and enjoyed it more this time than I did back then. But still, they're not considered the best of the Marvel movies. And so they kind of course corrected with Taika Waititi and Thor Ragnarok and made him more funny. And I think Chris Hemsworth really likes that too. But then the issue, quote unquote, that you might have with that character, if his movies are now comedies, is how do you treat him when he crosses over? Do you still keep the comedic tone, even though you might want a more serious story? So sometimes it can kind of not like, hey, the stakes don't feel as high when you have this goofy guy joking around all the time.
Right. Mists of danger.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool how, well, not cool, but I thought it was humorous how Strange flubbed the rally speech.
Oh, yeah.
He tried to get everybody, you know, together, and it's less like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was like,
yeah.
That's why he should have, you know, recruited Captain America.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to think of that guy who's gives great speeches. Tony something? What's his name?
Stark?
No, the actual real guy.
He goes Tony Robbins?
Robbins, yeah. I was like, he's no Tony Robbins, that's for sure.
They needed Tony Robbins there to just get pumped up, man. You can
I choose you, Tony yourself. Robbins.
Hey, you smile.
I choose you, Oprah.
I didn't understand how Killmonger used the robot head to steal Ultron's armor. Did anybody else get that?
There's something about vibranium nanotech or something like that.
He was looking at it the whole time. I mean, you could even see him in kind of not the background, well, kind of the background, just studying that, that head.
I think it has to do
when he should be paying attention.
That he was, in his story, he was Tony Stark's apprentice.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Right.
How
to manipulate all that.
Vibranium. But no, they didn't even end up using vibranium.
Well, I mean, you can just kind of say that because he was Tony Stark's protege, that maybe he was working on, you know, some of that nanotech that Tony used in Endgame.
Yeah, I think
maybe he had some sort of connection.
All right, we're just saying that's it.
Well, most of the time, the reason I missed stuff is because I missed stuff, and it was already said. I was just curious if anyone else caught it.
I mean, I think Eric has. That's a good possibility.
That's a great explanation.
And I think it's one of those great things about this series where they don't explain everything, but if you think about it, you can figure out.
Oh, you can kind of put it together.
Could be that.
Right. My last note is I thought it was a great way to end the show with a peek of good old Captain America and Captain Marvel kicking some ass in that alternate universe where they dropped off Natasha.
That was pretty cool.
Captain America is my favorite. Tony Stark's my least favorite. So this whole 9 series episode really fit in, except for the zombie episode. I didn't like that one.
She Black Widow killed Loki maybe a little too quickly. It kind of reminded me of Ultron killing Thanos.
Oh, right.
Just like, give me that. Yeah.
How Avengers should have ended.
Right.
Eric, any other notes or any points?
Nothing huge. I mean, I think I did want to, I really liked how they incorporated all of their like theme songs.
Yeah.
Like every character had the music from the movie. And I thought that was kind of cool.
That's another good thing about this series. They can bring in all those.
Right. Another little nod.
And it's one composer, but obviously well-versed in all the movies and the themes and everything.
Right.
Anything else?
Oh, wait. One last thing. I love the all too easy line. I don't know if it had any reference, but it reminded me of Vader when he pushed Luke into the carbon freezing all too easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked when the Watcher said, I never said it would be easy. Well, he's going to have a huge, massive robot army? Yeah. Well, I never said it was going to be easy.
He has all the Infinity Stones. let's see. Okay, my turn. I think now this is probably the last ever performance of Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool that he actually showed up in, by my count, 4 episodes. The one that we covered, T'Challa as a Star-Lord, the Killmonger, Tony Stark one, the Zombies one, where he had his leg eaten off or whatever, and this one, 4.
Yeah, and he had such a unique way of speaking his character, you know, with the cadence and the accent that he used. It's going to be hard to live up to.
Yeah, I think the sequel to Black Panther comes out next year, Wakanda Forever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's all this speculation. Will they have like Shuri be Black Panther, or maybe they'll bring Killmonger back to life.
I know that she's on set. She's been in the news a little bit about COVID stuff.
That's a great character.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched that again in prep for some episode. And I think the Iron Man one, and man, I like all these movies more when I watch them again now for some reason.
Yeah.
And they're pretty flawless.
I actually thought Killmonger, that would be a good, Michael B. Jordan was so great in that role that him as Black Panther would be pretty cool. He died, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I like him as an actor for sure. He's pretty cool too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always good when you have a bad guy that's as cool as the good guy.
When the bad guy is just as charismatic and intelligent as the good guy, it's like, which one?
The Watcher is, well, Natasha, Black Widow, she's kind of laying into the Watcher. We're just stories to you. We're not real. I felt like she was talking to me watching her, you know? Sorry.
I got not a lot to do.
And then she goes, did you make popcorn while Ultron murdered my friends and burned my world to the ground? And pictured Watcher going, yes.
But I loved the story. I loved it.
It was a great story. So much drama.
It had extra butter. Sorry.
Gotta admit. What else? I guess that's all I got.
Yeah, I think I got all of my points out.
Cool. That's good. We'll take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us. Okay, we're back. It's time for a little bit of news. There was an interview with showrunners A.C. Bradley and Brian Andrews. Brian Andrews is the guy who was like a storyboard artist for Marvel, is still. A.C. Bradley's more of the writer, but they kind of work on it together. Screen Rant interviewed them. They say, Marvel movies have some of the best superhero action ever, but with animation, there are really no limits. What were your favorite action beats in What If Season 1, and were you trying to top the movies? Brian Andrews said, I've done a bunch of storyboards and a bunch of action sequences for the movies over the years, so I just attacked it the exact same way I did those movies. What does the story need? What do the characters need? What excites me? I just leaped into it the same way I did the action in Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy. Favorite ones? There's a lot. I think Nat in the truck beating up a bunch of S.H.I.E.L.D. guys, which was in episode 3.
Okay, yeah.
Is hilarious, but I think the Captain Marvel and Thor fight turned out in episode 7 turned out really well. We got to get goofy with it and big and crazy, so I think that's what's fun. One of the that was a good one, huh? I like that a lot.
Took them all the way to the center of the planet,
punching each other across continents.
Yeah, when you can, when you can punch people night. Through mountains, it's pretty damn cool,
right?
And knocking over Stonehenge,
a lot of collateral damage there.
One of the differences is the fact that I have the position that I have on the show. I get to make sure the vision gets out. But when you're doing a movie, you're just one in the cog of the machine. So sometimes what you do gets on the screen and sometimes it doesn't. But here I got to make sure what we wanted to do made it to the screen. So that was pretty awesome. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They ask, the finale really brought What If Season 1 together. The What If comics were one-shots that didn't usually connect. How early in the process did you decide heroes from the various timelines would team up? A.C. Bradley says, when it comes to talking about our first season of What If and picking what would be our original run of stories, I always knew that they were going to connect in the finale. The idea that the Watcher would, like he does in the comics, say no, 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 and eventually break his oath when the multiverse is threatened, that was always in play. How those characters were going to interact and how everything was going to connect was kind of a fun puzzle for me because we were mixing genres and heroes. So we had our amazing 1940s Peggy Carter with the super soldier serum. We had Star-Lord T'Challa. We knew they were going to be on the team. I definitely wanted to revisit Doctor Strange and his little prison of pain. How he was going to be part of the team wasn't clear from day one, but that was the fun of figuring out these stories. The same with Killmonger. He's not your typical hero, but he was going to be necessary to the Watcher's plan.
Why does he even have an oath? I mean,
I don't know.
If his job is to protect the multi-universe, the multiverse at any cost, what the hell do you have an oath for? You do what you need to do.
I don't think that is his job. I think that's a decision he made at the end of this episode.
Mm.
But that's a mystery that, like I said, hope we go into more next season. Why does he have this oath? Who did he make it to? Will there be any consequences? I can't remember in the comics. I feel like there's just like a group of watchers that all the other watchers promised they wouldn't do anything. I don't know.
It's more of a guideline. Like in Star Trek, they have the prime directive, right? But they break it like all the time, like every other episode. It's like, come on.
Even they get bored. They go, how did you land on Ultron as the main bad guy of the season? A.C. Bradley says, well, I think any comic book lover knows Ultron in the comics is absolutely terrifying. Age of Ultron is great, but was only one movie. And at times, to me, it didn't seem to give that classic villain enough screen time that I would have given him. We can only fit so much in those movies. This was our opportunity to show what Ultron is capable of. And also now, as we're hitting Phase 4, we have the Infinity Stones in play. We have the multiverse. So what would happen if Ultron got the Infinity Gauntlet? How bad would it get? and it's quite easy to jump to complete devastation. That's cool. That is so true. Ultron is great in the comics, and the movie really, I feel like, in a lot of ways, didn't do him justice. So cool. They go, are there characters or scenarios you wanted in season one that you weren't able to include? Brian Andrews says, you know, it's funny. There were so many episodes we pitched to Kevin Feige. It was like 30 and we were supposed to choose like 10, but he gave us 12 or 13 because he couldn't whittle it down. There's a lot of great episodes we would have loved to be able to do, but you got to choose only 10, right? And it turned out to be 9. I think that what's fun is one of the episodes that was supposed to be in this season, the Gamora and Tony Stark episode. It couldn't be completed because of the pandemic stuff, but it got moved to season 2. So that's awesome.
Hmm.
I wonder how that's going to fit. Because if it was, you know, if it fit into the whole story, is it going to seem out of place?
Yeah. Will they like have another finale that ties things together, and will they not include that or something?
Yeah.
No.
Hmm.
They say, will we see season one's characters again, or will season two be all new timelines explored? She says, in season two, we get to play more with phase 4 and those parts of the MCU multiverse. So hopefully you'll see some Shang-Chi characters, some Black Widow characters, maybe an Eternal or two will pop up. As far as revisiting our season one heroes, I love Peggy Carter, and our post-credit scene was kind of a promise. There you go. Hopefully a promise that her story will continue in different ways. One more question. How do you top yourselves in What If Season 2? Will there be another multiversal threat, or will you try something different? Brian Andrews says, we can't tell you. AC Bradley says, in Season 2, we'll be focusing on different characters, new heroes, new stories. For me, the fun of What If isn't just the spectacle and the thrills. It's taking these iconic characters, both the ones we've grown up with and the ones we're just meeting thanks to the movies, and showing different sides of who they are, showing who is the human behind the iconic silhouette. For me, everything starts with character. The only reason people love seeing a giant Ultron fighting a wizard and a zombie is because we know their stories and we're invested. I couldn't agree with that more. For me, the battles without like caring about the characters are totally flat. So
just another battle. Steve Rogers, dude, that guy's so lucky. It doesn't matter what universe you're in. You're either Captain America or you're the boyfriend of Captain Carter. So it's like, I mean, you're, it's a win-win situation every freaking universe.
Did you watch the...
I think they touch turns to gold.
Do you watch the really bad Fantastic Four movies?
Yeah.
I didn't, yeah.
Where Chris Evans... I don't think I saw him, but I did see clips of him. Yep. And when I heard he was going to be Captain America, I'm like, that guy?
He was great in another science fiction movie called The Sunshine, too. He was really good in that.
He was also great in the one with the train that is in post-apocalyptic.
Snowpiercer.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that was good too.
Knives Out. He's good.
He's a good actor. Yeah.
So Captain America is your favorite of the MCU heroes?
Mine. Yeah. Personally, I've always loved him since I was a kid, but I have to admit I read more DC than I did Marvel. So this whole venture from it started 15 years ago now with the Marvel movie.
2008.
Man, it's been a hell of a ride, tell you.
Yeah, it has. What about you, Eric? Do you have a favorite?
I've always been a fan of Magneto. I mean, I know that
The Marvel of the MCU.
Captain America is up there for sure. I like Black Panther too. I mean, both of them are you know what? I think I'd have to go with Spider-Man. He's just awesome, and I feel like he's been kind of underrated, you know, in terms of his power and whatnot. I remember when he was first introduced in Civil War that I don't even think it would have been a match between him and Falcon and Winter Soldier. He would have had them wrapped up. I mean,
he's like 10 times stronger than them.
Right. I mean, he was making jokes and stuff, which was kind of cool, but
yeah, you got a metal arm. That's so
right,
cool.
Yeah. I'm so glad they were able to work it out so that he could be it, even though Marvel doesn't have the film rights. I'd say, for me, Spider-Man has always been my favorite hero, but in the MCU, I do like the Spider-Man movies, but it feels almost like a different character to me just because of the involvement with Tony Stark and everything. They've changed his story and it's still really fun, but it doesn't like occupy the same space for me. So I think in the MCU, mine is probably Hulk. And I think Mark Ruffalo has done such a great job.
Yeah.
That character.
I'm so happy he took over.
Yeah.
From the first guy. What was his name?
Well, yeah.
Edward Norton.
Yeah. I want to see a standalone Hulk movie, but they can't do it because of legal stuff.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Because it seemed like, yeah, throughout the arc of this universe, of these movies, he had less and less of a role to play, you know?
They've been trying to tell his story piecemeal in the other movies, but they can't do a standalone movie. And so Thor was kind of their way of sneaking him in there because that was almost like a buddy movie, you know?
Yeah.
Why is that? Is that, I mean, I thought I
don't remember the details.
Huh.
Yeah, because they did have standalone movies, but there's something ran out or what it is. But.
That's one thing about Captain America, too, is they totally explored him in six different movies, right? Or seven different movies now. And then he didn't really change his story. You know, they just reinforced it. And plus, I love the idea that his superpower is just a super soldier serum. He is at the limit of human endurance and strength. You know, he's not superhero. He's just superhuman, what a human could possibly do, you know? I like that he's got a little bit of a limit.
Yeah, his appeal is mostly about his character.
Yeah, and you know? he's almost chaotic good. You know, I kind of identify with that. And then he's also the best hand-to-hand fighter, you know, in the world, basically. So he's got all these little tiny skills and attributes and stuff that I like, and so he's always been my favorite.
Well, when I went back and watched the first Captain America, probably since the first time since it came out like 10 years ago, just in preparation for his episode in this series. And what's one thing that stood out to me is how he was more like eager to get into the battle and wanting to fight and help. And I feel like over the course of the movies, he felt more burdened by the whole thing. I mean, he was always still a willing hero, but it just felt like it weighed on him. So I feel like his character did change a bit, and then it made more sense at the end where he was like, all right, guys, I'm going to retire.
I'm done. Yeah.
He did his part for King and Country.
Yes, he did. Yeah. All right. We don't have much feedback. I feel like this series is a bit, people think cartoon and they're like, nah, that's not my thing. It's for kids. I think this is one of the best cartoons ever made, to be honest.
Right.
Like the battles look better than the animation. Yep. And if you like the Marvel movies, you would love these, but I just feel like we haven't got quite as much engagement on this one. I'm still glad I covered it, 'cause I really think it's great. But anyway, we just got a couple of things here. So, Rich, you want to go first?
Yeah. Shay White says, great way to end season one. Loved the team up and how the Watcher picked everyone. Best fight scene of the series. I really want to see an episode with Hulkbuster Stark and Thanos killing Gamora. Can't wait for season two. Wait, you mean Gamora and Stark killing Thanos?
Yeah. I think you got those two names backwards there.
Yeah. That wouldn't be much of a show. Maybe Thanos killing Gamora. Stark and Thanos are teaming up? What? Actually, I wouldn't believe that. Stark's a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think Shay wants to see Stark and Thanos killing Gamora.
Okay.
Hey, whatever floats your boat.
I'm sure they would make it cool.
That'd be a good 30-second clip.
I think you want. I don't know. I think you want to see Gamora killing Thanos. In which case, yeah, I think you will see that in season two. That's my guess. Yeah. Okay, Eric.
This is from Mike Mulcahy. Is anyone else getting Sonic the Hedgehog Chaos Emerald vibes from Ultron and the Infinity Stones in these last two episodes? No, just me.
Sonic.
I didn't play those games.
Yeah. I've played Sonic, but I don't know. That one kind of over my head.
I do know, and I haven't talked about it much on this podcast, but Michael B. Jordan is a anime fan. And I think that inspired Killmonger's outfit. It looks like an anime character outfit. And I think there was a scene in this What If episode 2 where he did a move that's typical of anime characters.
Oh, too. Some anime character.
Yeah, they've been playing on that a little bit. But I don't really know anime that well, so it all goes past me.
That's cool.
But again, relating it to some cool video games, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah,
right, yeah.
And I think
pop culture, huh?
That whole... All too easy. I'm sure that they're big Star Wars fans, of course. Yeah. Too easy. All right, and here we have Steve Brown.
Hello, House Podcastica. This is Steve, and this is for the What If season one finale. Wow, I can't, like, I'm just bonkers. It was so amazingly good, and I cannot wait to break it down and hear other podcasts break it down and watch YouTubes that break it down, because, man, this was full of everything. I think my most unexpected and favorite moment, though, was the return of zombie Scarlet Witch. I thought that was just amazing when I saw the bodies falling out of the hole that Strange made. I thought in the zombies, I thought, oh, maybe it's going to be Thanos with the glove. But no, it was zombie Scarlet Witch, and just absolutely loved it. So cannot wait to hear you guys' coverage. I know it's going to be delayed, but also can't wait to see you, Jason, in about a week. Talk to you later.
Yeah, a bunch of us sweet. Are meeting up.
You guys going to Atlanta?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, Pennsylvania this time. Yeah,
Hershey Park.
Oh, man, lucky.
I know. I've never been there.
Yeah, that's cool.
We worked at Hershey's. What do you say? Oh yeah, Scarlet Witch. That reminded me. Scarlet Witch, I think, is going to have a big part in the Doctor Strange movie too. So that'll be cool.
Oh yeah.
I
was hoping that he was going to show up in WandaVision, but
I know. Huh?
I think he's just too integral to all these things, because he could probably show up in all of them at some point.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could kick everyone's ass.
Especially as demon.
Yeah. If he can take on Ultron with all the Infinity Stones, come on.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even the non demon absorbing Strange was pretty powerful in his movie, where he put Dormammu in this time loop.
Yep.
Yeah.
What did he keep saying? I'm here to bargain.
I'm here to bargain. Yeah.
All right, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you, guys. I'm glad that it was you two that got to come and do the final one.
That's yay! Fun. Woot woot.
Yeah, it's always cool.
If you guys want to write, well, let me say what's happening next. So I think I mentioned it last time, but this Wheel of Time series is a big fantasy series. I think 14 or 15 novels by Robert Jordan. I don't know anything about it, but there's a series on Amazon. And there's a couple of podcaster Zed heads who really wanted to podcast about it. So that's going to be the next show. I'm not going to be a host on it. It's going to be Greg, Wendy from Handmaid's Tale, and Ben, who guested when we did, what was it? The Ultron episode. What if Ultron won? They're going to be hosting that. And that debuts, I think, November 19th or sometime in November. So I think that's going to be the next thing that you guys are going to hear from us. And then, of course, Richard and Reem and I will be back for Cobra Kai at the end of December. And Eric and Chris and I are going to be back for Book of Boba Fett. So at that point, I think we'll have three shows on at the same time.
Nice.
Keep you busy.
And so if you want to write in about any of that or record a message and send it in, you can email us at talk@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/podcastica.
And be sure to check out our other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah, we're podcasting about Walking Dead World Beyonds and maybe a little bit of Fear the Walking Dead talk over at Walking Dead Cast. And Rima and Paik are talking about Midnight Mass on Strange Indeed. That is such a great show on Netflix right now, done by Mike Flanagan, who did House or Haunting of Hill House and Haunting of Bly Manor, and they're doing a really good job covering that.
Ooh, what's it called?
Midnight Mass.
Midnight Mass. Oh, I'll check it out. I'm all in like a horror movie mode right now, or horror show mode.
You might dig it. It's a bit of a slow burn at first, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You might lose some patience, but if you stick it out, you'll like it.
Give me a glass of wine, I can...
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Steve Brown, guy who calls into podcasts. You have been chosen.
Now at Verizon, we're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's our best price ever on unlimited welcome with AutoPay plus taxes and fees guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, we got you. Visit your local Chicago Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits apply over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.